World Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, which we're going to drop that now. I don't want to do that anymore. It is irritating to me. And we're just going to say, hi, welcome to the Phil Hendry Show, truth is our bitch.
Yeah, well, you gotta do it.
Well, what do you mean? You had a very definite, that was your brand.
No, that's not a brand. That's just me blathering.
Do you talk about news, talk, and information?
Yeah, news, talk, and information. Just shut up, you know. Just a lot of nervous talk. It's the Phil Hendry Show, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show where truth is our bitch. There you go. Welcome to our program. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. Don Berman's going to join us this hour to talk about an interesting story having to do with Lindsay Lohan, who owes 16 G's on a storage bill. Do you know about this?
I've been following the story, yes. What is Berman doing?
Well, Berman wants to come on the program and make his own offer concerning Lindsay Lohan. Now, I'll tell you that Lohan has apparently not been able to pay off this storage bill. And as the result of that, she is in arrears, if you'll pardon. What do you guys...
Yeah, I bet she's in arrears. I'd like to be in her.
Hey, watch it.
You see, this is why I get up and I go to the bathroom. You think I'm using the toilet. I'm vomiting.
Margaret.
No, let me finish. I vomit every show because the two of them are doing some reference to the butt or butt sex.
And you go in and vomit because of that?
Because I know that this show is not going to be serious.
I didn't say...
Yes, you did, Robert. Yes, you did. I heard you say, I'd like to be in her, and then the word that we used.
Arrears.
Why did you do that?
Because that, I thought you were looking for the word.
I'm not looking for the word. No, I'm not looking for the word. Anyway, Don Berman will be joining us, and he will be talking with us about the Lindsay Lohan storage bill and what he has in mind.
Oh, I'll bet he's got something in mind. See, this is what I'm talking about, Phil, and I'm in a little bit of a bad mood here this evening as well because you had a rehearsal of your one-man show, and apparently I'm the last one to find out.
All right, Margaret, hold on for a minute, okay? there's a lot of people I haven't told about the one-man show. I'm talking to the audience about it, but there's a lot of people that are not attending these rehearsals. To be honest with you, there's four people total beside myself that are in these rehearsals.
Yes, who are they?
Well, you're not going to know.
I demand to know who they are.
I'm not going to tell you.
Are they people I know?
No, they are not.
All right, thank God. Thank God. Thank you, God. In nomine Patri et Spiritus.
Doing the sign of the cross.
Don't slap my hand.
I will not have you doing the sign of the cross in a joking manner.
I'm thanking your God. Is that all right?
My God?
Yes, your Christian God. Should I not do that? I'm trying to do what I would think you'd want me to do.
Which is what?
When I said thank God, I was trying to be deferential to you, so I was thanking your Christian God. Now, if you asked me to thank my God, it would probably petrify you with fear, the ritual that I go into.
Yeah, I know that she probably...
Yeah, look, see, this one here, he's frightened because I practice Wicca.
All right, I've heard of people that practice Wicca. Why do you say it would frighten me with fear?
Because there are certain people that the Wicca incantations will petrify with fear.
I don't want to be around. Yeah.
Oh, now see what you did to them.
I know, because I happen to know the two of them are big, fat, squealing babies, aren't you?
No, I just don't want to be around anybody doing that.
Yeah, you're being disrespectful, too.
Two big, fat, squealing, diapered babies.
Shut up!
Margaret, what's the point of this?
There's no point. The boys the other day were asking me about Wicca, and I told them. And Barry Louise and I are in touch. She's a Wiccan.
All right, fine. But you don't have to be insulting to my religion or what you perceive to be my religion by saying that you are paying homage to my God.
I don't know what superstitions... Phil, I have no idea what superstitions you hold to. I'm trying to be deferential to you as any of the European explorers were to the natives, and I'm not comparing you to a native, so hold on. I'm simply saying, when the European explorers first came to North America, they tried to be respectful and they tried to be a bit more respectful and understanding of the native religions. So that's what I was doing with you.
So, in other words, you're the grand civilized explorer of Wicca, and I'm still holding to the old superstitions.
In a word, yes, and I don't mean to insult you.
Really? So Wicca is the religion of the future, and the old superstitions are Christian?
No, but I'm saying that the Christian religion still adheres to a great many old and antiquated and, frankly, frightening superstitions. The old Christian religion is one that still believes in the, all of that, ooga booga and all of that.
What are you talking about, ooga booga? Sound like you're making fun of my ancestors.
Yeah, you're making fun of the animist religions of Africa.
Where do you... Oh, look at you. Where'd you get off learning about that?
I read. Don't worry about it. I read.
But when you say the animist religions of Africa, you're talking about the non-Christian, the original sun-worshipping and...
Yeah, there are a great many different religious... like there's storytelling religious traditions in Africa. There's the dream. The dream vision religion is very interesting, and you should look into that.
Yeah, I found out Western and Eastern Africa.
The dream vision. So what are you saying? In other words, we're not talking about Christian religion.
No, but you're going ooga booga.
The Christians go ooga booga.
What do you mean the Christians go ooga booga? You know, we better stop this conversation because we're getting into some areas here.
Phil, are you denying that in the Catholic Mass, they don't stand there and go, la ba la ga la ba la ba la?
Yes, I'm denying that because the Catholic Mass is said in English now.
What do you mean in English?
It's been years since the Catholic Mass was a Latin Mass.
Well, are you telling... I know that Mel Gibson attends a Latin Mass church.
Well, Mel Gibson can do whatever he wants, and there's a lot of throwback, kind of old-school Catholics that like the Latin Mass, and good for them. But no, it's not ooga booga. You know, you are one of these old-school Protestants. That's what you are. You're one of these people... You know,
hold on. I am not a Protestant. I told you I'm Wiccan.
No, you have a lot of those prejudicial attitudes that a lot of the old line. I don't mean anybody, folks. You know what I'm talking about. The old school Protestants that hocus pocus. You know the term hocus pocus?
Yeah, that's that band that did.
Shut up, man. He's not talking about that.
Well, in a way, he is right. There was a band called Hocus Pocus.
Yes, they did Focus.
Yes, Hocus Focus. They did Hocus Pocus. Did Focus.
What?
Hocus Pocus did a song called Focus.
Yeah, they want to go, yoda, 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 yoda.
Shut up, man. They don't want to hear that right now.
Sorry.
But the term Hocus Pocus was created as a slam on the Catholic Mass because that's what it sounded like to Protestants who heard it for the first time. It was like, ooh, you know, Hocus Pocus, like magic because of the whole changing the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the changing of the water and the wine of the body and blood of Jesus Christ.
I notice how you're stumbling over that. Do you believe it?
Do I believe what?
Do you believe, and I want a very definite answer on this, Phil, before we go forward. Do you believe that the body and blood of Jesus Christ is changed into that from the, what do you call it, the bread and the wine?
Do I believe that the body and blood of Jesus Christ is changed literally
Boy, you're real. Oh, God.
Man, you are kind of confused.
No, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the TVs going crazy. What's going on with this, Robert? Did you call up Time Warner or not?
I told him it's changing back.
I got this TV that keeps changing back to NBC. I want it on ID, man, and I want it on Military Channel, and that's what I... Why does it keep going back to stinking NBC?
I don't know.
I'm calling up Time Warner. I swear to God, Time Warner, I'm giving you guys the 48 hours of this weekend to either pull it together or I'm getting DirecTV, and that's the end of that. I had DirecTV. I had no complaints with DirecTV, none whatsoever. They were fantastic. Or I'll get Dish Network. Somebody's telling me that Dish Network's the way to go. I don't know. I don't know who's a sponsor, what's a sponsor. I don't know. I will tell you that right now. I will make an offer to DirecTV right now. I will do spots. I will do whatever it takes for you. because I'm getting sick and tired of Time Warner having to figure out what it is you clowns are doing from one day to the next that makes the channels flipping back and forth. I'm watching a channel, man. I don't want to see NBC.
Well, what are you getting so upset about?
It's pissing me off. The fact that I did not want to see any more of what it is that I'm looking at here. I want these channels on... Oh, forget it.
So anyway, as a Catholic, do you...
Will you forget that, Margaret? We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, you got all mad and everything.
Just getting sick and tired of that, man. Every time I come in here, it's on a channel that I didn't want it on. And I keep blaming you guys. You should be happy that I'm having... We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL and philhenryshow.com. Don Berman coming up next.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, where truth is our bitch, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Don Berman is going to join us here in just a moment to discuss this Lindsay Lohan case. It's not the biggest story going today, and I understand what the biggest story going today is, but our radio show is not cut out, folks, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not going to go down that road today. We're just not going to do it. And the reason is very simple. I'm not going to kick around what's already been kicked around. I'm not going to be talking about what's already been talked about. And I'm not going to engage you on a topic that is better talked about elsewhere. It doesn't mean that we don't do serious issues here. We do. But this topic today, the news that happened today, having to do with the deaths of children, I'm not going to even go there. It's not going to happen. There are communities that are talking about it. The people in that community are talking about it. I know for a fact that my colleagues in talk radio are beating the hell out of it, making hay while the sun shines. Every second is an ad dollar. Oh, yeah. You know, if you say to me, well, Phil, are you attributing to them nefarious and are you attributing to them mercenary? Yeah. Yes, I am. There, does that answer the question? And there's just some stories that I'm not going to feed into the meat grinder of the horse dung producer that is talk radio. It ain't going to happen. Not with little children. No way. Other topics, sure. We'll talk about it. All right. Don Berman is going to join us here now. Lindsay Lohan, to give you the what? Why is everybody quiet?
Well, I'm letting you say what you're going to say because, frankly, I don't.
You don't what?
I don't want to talk about it.
What's wrong with you guys?
I don't know, nothing.
Just come on, let's, you know.
What do you want me to do, sing?
Here, Phil, I'll sing a song. Let's see, Miami Vice. No, there aren't lyrics to that.
Never mind, I'll just get Don Berman on the phone here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Don Berman from Channel 19 News. As you know, they have the Emmy Award-winning Channel 19 News, and these are guys that have been... Well, they've been covering the news, and they've been covering news in depth and all kinds of stories for a long time. Don, I know it's a busy news day for you. How are you doing?
Well, Phil, as good as I can be here. We are in the newsroom tonight preparing for another newscast, and I wanted to just correct something. The Lindsay Lohan story that we're covering is a story that I'm injecting myself into, but it is not, and let me underline the word not, what I just heard you reference as mercenary.
No. I'm not accusing you of that. I'm accusing other people, especially in talk radio, of being rather mercenary when it comes to some of these more explosive and heartbreaking and heart-wrenching topics.
All right, well, that is not what I'm doing with the Lindsay Lohan story. I think the Lindsay Lohan story is so sad. And it truly is, Phil, and I'll tell you why. It is a young woman who is still a young woman. She's a woman, and there's no question, but we have been exposed to the trauma and to the dysfunction of her family long enough. And I think it's time that we inject some kind of sanity into this story. And so I took the liberty of when I read the Lindsay Lohan story about the $16,000 that she owes in storage money.
Yeah, so let me read this.
You have the story there.
Yeah, it says here that a strip club has offered to pay Lindsay Lohan's storage bill if she works for them. New York's Scores Strip Club is willing to fork out $16,000 the 26-year-old actress owes to the storage company and reunite her with her prized possessions if she agrees to man their main website. I guess that means she dances on the website.
Yes, they have dancers, and they show everything, or, you know, one of the last places you're going to find Dawn Bourbon is in one of these clubs, because it isn't because I don't like beautiful women, Phil, it's just that I'm extremely busy. But apparently, she'll be on a video cast of the kind that they have. You have a video cast, but this is entirely something different. And I would, with all due respect to you, Phil, I think you're a wonderful radio talent, but she'd be a lot more pleasant to look at.
Oh, no question.
Yes, and so she would be on the website, and she would be dancing in a provocative way, I guess. When we contacted or attempted to make contact, we are still we're still strategizing that way, Phil, but when we attempt to make contact with the Lohan people, the offer is very simply this. The Channel 19 News, and in fact, Dawn Bourbon, me, we will pay the storage bill. But we will pay that storage bill with the understanding that she doesn't go anywhere near that strip club or anything like it, that she returns to Los Angeles, and if she wants to dance for someone, she can dance. If she wants to say thank you, in other words, she can give a private dance to whoever, but it will be private, and there's not going to be any publicity.
Well, when you say she can dance privately, why would she want to do that?
Well, I'm saying if she wants to say thank you, we're paying her $16,000. We're going to get her possessions out of this storage bin, and it seems that there might be a moment where it might occur to her to say thank you.
So she'll say thank you to who?
But you understand my point. I don't want to get into who. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, not really. Not really. I know that she's been offered $16,000 by the Scores Strip Club in New York if she'll man the main website, which you say means that she is dancing naked?
I would have to believe that she, if she took that job, she'd be willing to, for the $16,000, to undress and strip fully, and that would mean bottomless as well, and I would have to believe that that would be it. So if we are willing to pay that money instead, what we're saying to her is, don't you dare, because we want to make sure that this young woman is not shamed. I happen to think Lindsay Lohan's very talented.
She's a very talented actress, yeah.
And I don't think that she should be shamed.
All right, but you just said to me that...
I know what I said. I said that if she wants to say thank you.
Yeah, if she wants to say thank you, she'll give a private dance?
If she was... Hold on, you're not understanding what I'm saying.
Don, this is Margaret Dawn.
Oh, gee.
Well, what does Oh Jesus mean?
I heard your comment about I'm a journalist. Well, is Bourbon a journalist? I know exactly which side of the bread the butter's on, Miss Gray. And I'm hesitant to use the word butter. The way you reacted yesterday.
What is he talking about?
But I talked about butter him up.
Those two individuals that I work with here, Bud and Ron, are you there? Don, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
These two individuals said, I'll bet you like to have something buttered.
I understand that, but you understand that, and that was very crude.
It was extremely rude, and I chastised them for it.
But you understand that I'm reluctant to use the word butter around you.
Why would you be reluctant to use the word butter around me if it's used properly?
Well, I'm just telling you, I don't know.
Well, in what sense did you want to use the word butter around Margaret?
I said, I'm sure that Lindsay Lohan, and I guess I should include Margaret in that, I don't want to insult her, you know which side of the bread the butter's on.
Yeah, I'll bet she does.
All right, I'm going to beat your ass if you do that again. Come on, man.
What?
May I?
Go ahead.
Ow!
You filthy...
Mr. Henry, I can't be in the middle of this.
All right, hold on for a minute. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We've got Don Berman from Channel 19 News. Lindsay Lohan owes $16,000. This seems like such an unseemly and creepy segment to be doing. Why are we doing this?
It's a very vital entertainment segment. Get off your high horse, Phil. Get off your high horse. Come on down here with the rest of us and take a good long whiff.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
How dare you?
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
God, did you see that?
Well, let's not, you know.
Oh, so all through the break, ladies and gentlemen, this is Margaret Gray.
Hold, Margaret, I'll do it. It's my show.
Well, then do it.
We were looking at something called Stars Without Makeup on the Us Magazine website.
And Phil was there, and you were going, oh, ooh. And the minute I weighed in and I wanted to do it live on the air, you're, oh, let's not.
Yeah, well, Mr. Henry wants to do that so he doesn't embarrass people.
Yeah, you just want to embarrass, like, that one lady from Modern Family, so...
Whatever, okay, let's not and say we did.
No, I insist. Look, you've cut me out of your one-man show. You've cut me out of the story here on Lindsay Lohan. Is Don Berman there? Get Don Berman. Don, it's Margaret.
Yes, Margaret.
Just give us 1 second. We want to look at this one story about stars without makeup.
Oh, you whore, you...
Now, did you hear what he just called you? It's, I consider the source.
That's okay, I'll dump it.
Well, it's too late now, you idiot. You know, Bud, can I ask you something? When you go fishing, do you use a hook and a worm, or do you just stick your hand in the water and try to grab fish?
Sometimes. Sometimes I do one, sometimes I'll do it in a different variety of ways. Why? Why do you ask?
Don't look me up and down.
I'm looking you up and down like you creep it out.
Yeah, you're creeping it out.
What do you mean I'm creeping it out?
Would you guys come on? Do you want to do this or don't you?
Yes, I do. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you look on Phil TV, you'll see Stars Without Makeup. Here is Jennifer Garner on the right. You know Jennifer Garner as a lovely young lady, and this is the woman on the right that we all know, that we all admired, even though she dumped Scott Foley. And went off and did something else. I don't know what it was. Oh, yeah, married Ben Affleck. But here she is, the way that, well, I hate to say it, but the way that Ben Affleck probably sees her now and gets depressed over.
I think you can say that. Why do you say that?
Take a look at that mug on the left and tell me that isn't going to make you take a handful of something you're only supposed to take once every 2 days. Now,
well, I don't know what you mean by that, okay? Let's get out of this. I don't like this. It's very cruel. It's very cruel.
You know something? You just don't know anything about it.
And Margaret, if we had your face there without makeup, etc., how would you feel?
Well, I am not a celebrity the way they are celebrities. I'm a reporter. Why would you have me there if for any other reason than to humiliate me? And quite frankly, I look good without makeup.
Oh, yeah, right.
I do.
Yeah, well, Miss Gray.
And neither one of you can comment because you've never seen me without makeup.
Well, your husband Frank has, and we could certainly get him on the line.
I don't care. Get him.
So we got your husband on the line and seen you without makeup. What would he say?
What he would say that I'm just as effable, if you'll...
God.
Well, what is that supposed... What do you mean, God? You know, you guys have no class.
They have no class. You're the one that said effable.
That's what Frank would say. And ask Jason J. Delmonico's friends, and their 14-year-old boys going on 25, and they'd say the same thing. Your mother, I don't want to repeat what I've overheard through the water heater, but...
Yeah. All right, let's get Don Berman back on here. So, Don, are you still with us?
I am, and I want Ms. Gray to know that I resent violently having my segment preempt it.
I did not preempt your segment. I was commenting on something that was in the news.
It was a feature. It was not breaking news. And I want to go on record as protesting that film.
All right. Can we get back to this Lindsay Lohan?
Yes.
Now, rather than have Lindsay Lohan be given $16,000 by a strip club, Channel 19 and Don Berman, is this kind of a... how does this work?
Well, I'm co-promoting, and it's not a promotion. I'm a newsman, so it's really not a promotion, but it's similar to a promotion in that Channel 19 News is putting up the money, but they have agreed to put my name above theirs in the ads for this particular news story that we're going to be doing. Don Berman and Channel 19 News reach out to Lindsay Lohan.
All right, so but it's not a promotion. It sounds suspiciously like one.
I'm not getting paid, Phil. There's nothing in it for me. There's no graft. There's no nothing that is going to make... You know that I love you and I respect you, Phil, but there's nothing in this that I know deep down would just make you happy as a pig in slop to see my name dragged through every kind of animal excrement that there is.
Don, that's not true, and that's a really cruel thing to say.
Well, then why are you questioning me like this about Don Berman this and Channel 19 that? Just take my word for it. Would you mind? Do you mind just taking my word for it?
I think, Don, this is Margaret. That's a fair, fair thing to ask.
All right, Margaret agrees.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
All right. So it says Don Berman and Channel 19 News reach out to Lindsay Lohan. We offer her the $16,000 so she can get her personal possessions out of storage, and then she goes on with her life. And if, and only if, she feels like saying, "I'm, you know, thank you."
Well, don't you think she would say that she's grateful and she wants to say thank you?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I think it goes with, if I may say.
When did this turn into the Margaret and Phil show? That I just wanted to know.
It's not the Margaret and Phil show. Margaret's asking questions, like Robert and Bud can.
Well, I know, but I'm hearing every fifth word that you speak, she's speaking three, because hold on for a minute. Don't throw that away. I am keeping a chart here, and every fifth word she says, then you jump in with three, five, three.
You're keeping...
God Almighty.
What are you laughing at?
Are you keeping a written record of how many words she's speaking?
Yes, I am, because I don't understand. I'm not going to, you know what, I will just say this. I don't understand why she's on your program. I don't understand.
Well, there you go.
What?
That it's absolute jealousy, and it is professional jealousy.
No, it's not professional jealousy. That's a filthy, crawling lie, and you're a filthy, crawling...
You know something? I'm going to hang up and move on, because the tenor of this conversation...
He is upset. Do you want to tell people why you're upset with me?
It's not what you think. If that's what is troubling you.
Well, all right. But Don and I, and Frank knows about this, we made out at one of the Christmas parties at Channel 19.
Oh, God, you didn't do it. You didn't do that, did you?
Well, I think it's about time people understand what this sexual tension is.
There's no sexual tension.
Then why are you constantly upset with me?
I'll tell you why I'm upset with you, because you talked me in to making out with you at the Channel 19 Christmas party, and it sickens me to this day.
See, you see what I'm saying? He is absolutely hot for me.
Margaret, it doesn't sound like that to me.
No, trust me.
I am not hot for you. I am nauseated. I'm nauseated by you.
No, this is exactly what men do when they are absolutely beside themselves with lust and heat for a woman. And listen, it's your funeral, big boy. You pushed me into it.
No, I did not push you into it. And now this interview I'm going to terminate, because if this is going to be a discussion of how I made a terrible mistake during a Christmas party last year and...
Made out with...
I kissed.
No, it was serious necking.
Oh. Goodbye.
I don't understand how this happens.
Phil, you're doing an interview with this man. Am I a journalist?
Yes, you're a journalist.
Then shouldn't you expect that I'm going to...
Yeah, she's gonna rip the lid off a couple of stories, Mr. Henry.
No. She's gonna rip the lid off, huh?
Shouldn't you expect that?
Yeah, in a world of journalism, they'll rip the lid off of it.
We rip the lid off of things.
Yeah, they do. They rip the lid off. Oh, they rip the lid off, huh? What are you ripping the lid off of?
The fact that Don...
Don Berman lipped it.
Yeah, Don Berman lipped that.
Don't point to my mouth and say that.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Don Berman kissed it. I mean, kissed her.
What is it with the two of these? Are you boys gay? Just tell me.
No, ma'am, I'm not. I was thinking about Mr. Berman.
Don Berman.
Excuse me, Mr. Berman, tagging you.
He didn't tag me.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I mean, kissing you, and especially kissing the other...
You better shut your mouth, bud, because I'm about to come over there and drive the heel of my high heel into what?
My left eye.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we don't want that, and I don't want any threats of that.
I won't be spoken about like that.
That's fine, and you have a right to ask that, but you led us into this by bringing the topic up.
I didn't bring up... The two of them are talking about how Berman had to lip it, and they're pointing at my...
If you don't want the audience if you don't want to be embarrassed, then why are you intimating to the audience what's going on here?
I didn't say a thing.
Well, you said they're pointing to your, and there's all this big dead space.
Could be the butt.
Oh, my God.
All right. Hey.
No, I'm going to the toilet.
Bud, you know, it's not that I don't want you to talk. It's that when you open your yap...
She said that it was bad.
Yeah, she said that Don Berman lipped it. And Bud was there saying, well, I didn't mean the butt.
Well, okay, so what does that leave? It could be...
Never mind, don't answer that. All right, so Don Berman is hung up, and I don't know if we're going to get a call back from him or not, but if we don't, we'll just move on with the next segment when we come back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're online at philhenryshow.com. And when we come back from the break, I'll tell you about a special that we're running all this month for new Backstage Pass members. If you're a new Backstage Pass member, you get some free CD best of downloads. We'll tell you about it when we come back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Can I get some toilet paper, please? Toilet paper? And wear the seat cover.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
Olivia Wilde is, she's lovely.
Yeah, she looks good.
Olivia Wilde looks fantastic. I don't think it's fair to take pictures of anybody, anyone, especially a woman. Women depend on makeup so much, and it's a cheap shot to take a picture of a woman without her makeup when she is just out and about and she's not really at her best, but she's got to go to the grocery store, she's got to go out and do these things, and get a shot of her, and maybe take it of her while she's not only without makeup, maybe she's sick, you know.
Well, Phil, why don't you just make it, she's got bubonic plague and that they kicked in the door to her hospital. What are you saying?
I'm saying, and I think what I'm saying is very, very easily understood, if you'll just allow me. I don't think it's fair. I think it's a real cheap shot. I understand how it's entertaining. We've been sitting here looking at the pictures. But I think it's very unfair to take a picture of a woman without makeup and then put it next to a shot that she's obviously had done with her hair and makeup done. Maybe she's going to a gala. Maybe she's going to an award show. Maybe she's on set for a show. And she obviously is going to look absolutely stunningly gorgeous. And then there she is without her makeup. I mean... What exactly is the message here?
Well, I think the message...
The message is the...
I'll do it, thank you. I'm the entertainment...
Well, I got an opinion.
Well, all right, bud, you give me your opinion, then you, Margaret.
You're going to let him give his... Just...
I think that the message is that you should wear makeup at all times.
Yeah, I think that's... I agree with that.
Oh, baby...
All right, well, what's your opinion?
My opinion is, actually, I agree with them. You should wear makeup at all times.
All right, well, then here's my opinion. No, you shouldn't have to be wearing makeup at all times. I think it's a very cheesy and cheap thing to do. I wish they wouldn't do it. And Because some of these women are beautiful. And I'll just one thing to say to you guys over at Us Magazine. I may be some kind of a weird guy, but this is Phil Hendry. I think women generally look better without makeup. In fact, I like the way a woman looks when she's just rolled out of bed, if you take my meaning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
So, in other words, you like women who have just been bounced around a bedroom. Oh, I don't know what that says about you. There's something very...
What, attractive?
You pig. I...
All right, well, I think there's something very attractive about a woman with no makeup, and she looks like she's just pulled herself out of a bed that her and her man... Well, never mind. So,
Yeah, how does Katie Holmes look there? Looking real good, huh?
Didn't say all of them.
Yeah, Mr. Andy, wait till Tom Cruise hears about it. Oh, he dumped her.
Yeah. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Back on the line with me is Don Berman, who... Don, I apologize. We got sidetracked. I promise you that we won't. I know that you want to finish up what you were saying about Lindsay Lohan.
Well, I want to do more than finish up what I was saying about Lindsay Lohan. I want to give some depth here because I have been treated... honest to God, Phil, as I said, I respect you, but you've treated me, and I don't know how to say this, almost as if I just came through the gates at orientation, and I'm out in the yard now. And
What is going on in the background?
What?
Why am I hearing echoing?
They're doing some producing. They're producing a piece. Are you listening to me, or are you listening to what's going... Oh, my God! So, in other words, what's going on in the background is more interesting than what I've got to say.
No, it isn't. It was distracting. Can you move, or...
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh, here he comes.
Who's that?
Mr. Martin is here. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing real good. Listen,
He's getting an espresso, Phil.
Would you say hello to him?
Phil Hendry says hello.
Huh?
Phil Hendry says hello.
What's that? I can't hear what you're saying. You know, I gotta... Yeah. Who's that?
Phil Hendry. I'm on the air with him.
Yeah. Hey, Hendry. Let me ask you. Hey, Hendry.
Yes, sir. It's Phil Hendry.
Oh, okay.
All right. He's gone now.
All right. In any event, so, Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan. Now, you're listening to me, and you're not listening to the background noise of two production machines going, are you?
I'm listening to you.
All right. Lindsay Lohan, we have offered $16,000 to, so that she will not have to, if you'll pardon me for saying this, she won't have to gyrate and act in a animal fashion on a television screen.
Hey, I'm so sorry. Hey, give me the phone. Hey, Hendry.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No, he gave the phone back to me.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I got to get that coffee. Because I got Angelo. Angelo, you want one too? Hold on. I'm very, very sorry, Don. It's just going to take a second. Let me just say. Hey, Hendry?
Yes, sir. My name is Phil Hendry.
All right.
He gave me the phone back. I don't think he's even listening to you. That's his way of saying he's sorry.
By calling me by the wrong name.
Well, it's your last name.
All right, yeah. Hey, thank you. Angelo. Hey, yo, Angelo. Hey, Angelo, come here. Take the coffee. I'm so sorry. Hey, take this. Huh? Get out of here. I'm going to smack. Yeah, I'm very, very sorry.
That's quite all right. All right. Okay, Phil. So, Lindsay Lohan. When Lindsay Lohan began her career...
I'm going to let you go.
Oh, sure, yeah, let me go. You know what,
what am I supposed to do?
No, that's very, very distracting. I understand.
You know, he's got to get that guy under control. I don't know what the problem is. Here's the story on Don Berman that he never did get out of his mouth because Mr. Martin, and that's the only name that we know him by. And maybe what I'll start calling him is Martin. Hey, how you doing, Martin? Hey, Henry. In any event, Don Berman, the $16,000 that they were going to give to Lindsay Lohan would be to get the stuff out of storage. By way of a thank you, Berman would ask her to do a private dance for him.
Is he out of his mind? She's never going to take a deal like that.
Well, I know that, but Don believed that was... If she wanted to say thank you, then that would be her way of saying thank you, dancing for him in his living room.
And he doesn't yet understand the width and the breadth and the depth of what a fat hog he is, does he?
Putting it that way? No, I don't think he does.
Well, what way would you put it? No,
Don's, you know.
Don Berman is one of a kind. He's a Los Angeles treasure. He's been on the news for a long time, and even my grandma remembers watching him.
Isn't that nice? Well, it doesn't cut mustard with me.
Doesn't cut what?
It doesn't cut mustard with me.
It cuts the cheese with me.
I hope the two of you die from cancer.
Oh, come on, Margaret. God, what a thing to say.
I'm going to the car and I'm getting tampons.
She's got to announce this? I can't believe it.
That was great of you announcing that.
That's right. I'm not ashamed of being a woman. I'm going to the car for tampons.
God. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Other stories to get into. Hugh Grant says that he deserves to have his ass kicked for being rude to the Daily Show staff. What's that about? We'll find out when we come back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show and other such falderall. I'm back now, Phil. If you want.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Phil Henry Show, where truth is our bitch every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard with me. We attempted to have Don Berman explain himself. He was continually interrupted by you, Ms. Gray, and I understand. I'm the host of the show. I control the traffic here. He called up after I explained that he was going to give Lindsay Lohan the $16,000 if she danced for him and only him in his home, and he threatened a lawsuit. But that's exactly what he told you, isn't it?
Well, Phil, I don't know. I
don't start in with the I don't know. That's exactly what he told you.
Yes, he did say that he wanted Lindsay Lohan to dance for him privately. I don't know that that was going to be a condition of the $16,000.
Well, the way I heard it was, if she feels like saying thank you, and from what I gathered from Don, it wasn't going to be an option. She was either going to say thank you, or he said he was putting her to work, quote unquote, and only you know what that is, but you had the conversation.
What Don said to me was that Lindsay Lohan would say thank you. That's what he said. He didn't say that he had any fear. He said she'll say thank you, and the way I wanted to say thank you, and if she doesn't say thank you, then he knows he has people where he could put her to work.
He has people where he could put her to work.
And that's all he said. There's a house of comfort. I prefer the term house of comfort.
So in other words, he's going to white slave her.
Well, what do you mean white slave?
In other words, she was going to become some indentured prostitute?
Phil, Don has a right to a return on his investment. I don't understand.
Well, you are some kind of a woman, aren't you? You're some kind of a female, some kind of a woman's rights advocate, to sit still and report something like that to me as if it's just a matter-of-fact piece of news.
I don't know why you're getting upset. I mean, the three of you are looking at me like I'm the one that...
Ms. Gray, are you trying to say that Don Berman's going to put her in a whorehouse?
I didn't use the term whorehouse at all. I said if Lindsay Lohan refused or didn't refuse, if she chose not to say thank you for the $16,000, that there was a, quote, comfort house where Don would like to see her.
Uh-huh. Like to see her what?
Learn some manners. I don't know.
Oh, boy. They ought to have him arrested.
For what?
For even making a threat like that.
Phil, it's not a threat. You have to understand, I'm speaking as a woman now, and there's not a woman out there that would disagree with me. If Lindsay Lohan showed herself not to be grateful for the $16,000 that Channel 19 and Don Berman were putting up so that she could get her stuff out of storage, Don Berman has a reasonable expectation that she will dance for him in some way. Now,
well, you know, I don't even get that. Where does he get off with the reasonable expectation that she's going to dance for him?
Or some private performance.
Or some private performance. Does that include sex?
I'm not going to speak to you or to these two like you're idiots. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, Margaret, I think you're hiding information.
I'm not hiding any information. The problem is you two are so stupid, or you three, I forget Bud's there, you two, and also you, Bud, are so stupid you can't read between the lines.
I can read between the lines. There's nothing between the lines.
Oh, my God, I don't mean literally.
It's a figure of speech. All right, fine. We'll move on. But I think, just so I have this clear.
Boy, you really want to kick this around, don't you? Does it give you a thrill? Huh, Phil? Do you get your rocks off? Well, I don't know why you keep wanting to...
So that I have this clear. If Lindsay Lohan was not going to say thank you, he was going to press her into service with a, quote, comfort house. Where?
I don't think he said.
Where?
In Los Angeles somewhere.
A whorehouse.
I refuse to use... Phil, I have entertained in houses of comfort. They are classy.
You've entertained?
Don't give me a look. How dare... What is he doing?
Well, I'm talking about entertain. What'd you do with your legs in the air?
Hold on for a minute.
Hey, watch it, watch it.
Ah! Ah! Ah, my left one.
Excuse me.
Oh, man, that's going to hurt well into next week.
Got the left one?
Yeah. I still got one good one, though.
Really? You want to press your luck on that?
No.
Now, Phil, I was a singer. A singer. And I used to sing in a, if you want to call it a whorehouse, I refuse to.
So you sang with a piano player?
Yes, I sang for the gentlemen visitors. And it was very classy, and it was extremely comfortable. And we had a wonderful little show that we put on. The men came in. They didn't all come in for sex. They came in to have a drink, to relax, to talk. I talked to a great many of them. You will not get their names out of me. Many of them very prominent in Los Angeles city politics. Because
Where was it located?
I'm not going to say.
All right, well, I bet you were located somewhere in your downtown where City Hall is.
And why do you say that?
Because you got to know guys in L.A. city politics.
Like they can't drive to Hollywood.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just...
And we had a very pleasant time, and I would sing whatever the standard of the day was. I remember, the big hit at that time was, "It's 5 o'clock in the evening, the regular crowd." You know that one?
That's one by Elton John.
No, it isn't. Billy Joel, you idiot.
Don't call him an idiot.
Well, speaking of Elton John, I love to do, the Crocodile Rock, do-do-do-do, and the Crocodile Rock, do, you know that song, Phil?
I know that song, I don't know, I forget.
And then the other one that everybody loved, we used to do, Saturday night's all right for fighting, woo, and the do-do-do-do-do, Saturday night, you know that song?
Yes, I do, I know that one, yeah.
And we had a Casio keyboard, because Merle could play either the,
Merle?
Yeah, Merle Jones was my keyboard player at the time. I don't know if Frank knew him. And so he played the keyboard, and he had a Casio. And so he got some great sounds. I got the B3 Hammond sound. So when we did that, do-do-do, do-do-do, you know how the song Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting?
What song is she talking about?
This is before your guys' time. Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. That was his Elton John song.
Yes, so we did that, and... He got that wonderful sound, do-do-do, do-do-do. And anyway, I remember, I don't want to say who, but a prominent fixture at City Hall came running downstairs in his underwear.
In his what?
You heard me, Phil.
Don't whisper it, Margaret.
In his underwear. And he wanted to know who died or something. And I said, "We're singing Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting." And he went, "Oh, thank God." And he turned around, and right as he turned to go up the stairs, a friend of mine, who I won't mention, she was the proprietress, she reached up and pulled his boxers all the way down to his ankles, so he was bare-ass naked. Oh, we laughed. God, we laughed.
A prominent city politician.
You know why you have that look on your face? Because you weren't there and you wish you were.
No, I'm seriously, when I say I'm... I'm serious when I tell you, it bothers me that a city politician is spending his off hours at a patently illegal operation like that. It really bothers me. It really does.
It really does.
What years are we talking about?
It was in the 70s.
Back in the 70s?
Yes.
All right.
But you see, Phil, you've got that nose in the air high. You think you're all this and a bag of you-know-what.
Dog do?
Why would I... Dog do? Would you hire some people that got out of the womb undamaged?
I'll try.
Were you laughing about Mr. Henry? That was cruel.
It was a funny line. Hire some people that got out of the womb undamaged.
It's true I was pulled out with forceps. What difference would that make?
A lot of different, man. If you get pulled out with forceps, it dents the head.
No.
Will you guys shut up? All right, coming up next, I deserved a kicking. Hugh Grant backs John Stewart for branding him a pain in the ass. How about that? That's the best way to handle it, Mr. Grant. If they're hating your guts, you got to go with it, baby. Go with it and apologize. And that's what what's his name did. Who's the guy?
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale. Christian Bale came out smelling like a rose, man, after that whole episode on the set. We'll be right back with that and more on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We were just looking through some of the other stars without makeup picture. I got to say, it's not right of me, but I was looking at this.
Well, you're saying it's not right of you, Phil. It's obviously a really interesting feature.
Yeah, but Mr. Henry's saying it's not fair to show a woman in the way the face looks.
Yeah. If you show a woman the way her face looks without makeup, you deserve to have your... like what Margaret did to you, man. You deserve to have the other one punched in.
All right, well, if that's what you'd like.
You know what? These guys are defending women, and I believe that they're taking an honorable stance here, and I don't know what it is about you. I don't know what it is about women, to be honest with you.
What's that supposed to mean?
I mean, women are extremely... and I get it. I mean, women are competitive and sometimes extremely cruel with each other, and I understand it, because if you are battling for the one rung on a ladder that otherwise has eight rungs... I saw this in radio. I saw this coming up in radio in the 70s and the 80s, when the only time slot that they had that they would put a woman on was middays. And when there's only one time, just in my business, in the radio business, if there's only one time slot, the 10 to 2 slot, where they would hire a woman, you know, chicks are going to... And I heard at least one female radio personality say, I'm the chick on this station.
Meaning she was the... There was only going to be one?
There was only one. There was only one. So that when she got wind of somebody who had been seen in the office or something, I guess somebody had come in for an interview, she said, hey, I don't know what she's doing here because I'm the chick on this station. You know, meaning I'm the official mascot chick. I got to tell you, it must have been brutal. It must have been brutal. It must have just... What would I do if I was... the shoe was on the other foot, you know?
Well, what would you do? That's a very good point.
I'd keep on pressing... Because I have very high level of confidence in myself as an entertainer, as an on-air personality. I would keep on pushing until I busted through, because I got no doubt... I would have no doubt that I belong on that radio station.
If all the other talent were females and you were going to be the one male talent... And every time you walk down the hall, someone's putting their hand up your you-know-what.
Well, I guess I'd have to live with it.
You gotta be kidding. Do you know how degrading that is?
Margaret, you're talking to a man here, okay? It's a completely different thing.
Well, still, I mean, are you saying that you would smile as every woman in the place tried to put her hand right in...
I'm not smiling. It would probably, after a while, I'd say, hey, ladies, I know, you know, I'll be back in a few minutes. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, look at you guys laughing.
Yeah, I'd probably say, there's enough for all of you, and then pull it out.
All right, easy.
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm going to turn my ring around because I feel it's on its way.
What does that mean?
I'm turning my ring around.
She doesn't want to leave the impression of a diamond ring in my face.
There you go. Good one.
There will be no punches thrown.
Phil.
There's no punches thrown. All right, on the line with us here is Frank Gray. Frank is Margaret's better half, and so we've heard enough from you, Margaret, for the time being. Frank Gray is an entertainment lawyer, a longtime producer of television and movies in Los Angeles, and Frank joins us on our Newsmaker line tonight. Frank, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, young man, I'm better than Custer. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Frank, I wanted to ask you about Hugh Grant, the story here in the Mail, the Daily Mail, which is, of course, the English Daily. What can you tell us?
Well, look, you know, Hugh Grant is hardly known for her, you know, self-effacing nature. She has admitted that she was a pain in the ass during this appearance on the Daily Show, you know, with Jon Stewart. Now, I don't know either one of these gentlemen all that well. I'm getting my information. I had lunch with Terry Babcock and her wife, and both of them are management people. Do you know that?
No, I don't know them.
Well, they both manage a number of stars, but she told me, and her wife told me, Janice, that Grant acted like an absolute pig, like just a born-again, almost a born-again pig. At least that's what I thought she said, and her husband said, no, not a born-again pig, a Borneo pig. And I thanked him, and I said, you know, you're a very beautiful woman, and you, instead of her, you should be the lead manager. And they both laughed, and he thanked me for my compliment as to his intelligence. But
all right, but let's get back to Hugh Grant, and can I just take a break here for a second?
Phil, why are you always taking breaks when I'm in the middle of the best part?
Just hold on. I got to explain to the audience.
Put him on hold.
Frank Gray suffers from gender confusion. So you'll hear him say her when he means him, and you'll hear him say him when he means her.
Yeah, except for gays.
Yeah, except for gay people. If someone's gay, then he'll call them by their right gender.
Yes.
All right. Frank Gray, back with us. We just took a quick commercial break, Frank.
All right. Well, I'm here at your disposal. But all of these breaks. Margaret was telling me that, and I listened to him because, you know, he's my wife. Was telling me that you've got a successful show there, and I forget what I was going
to
say.
All right. Let's get to Hugh Grant.
Yeah. All right, Hugh Grant. Here's what happened. The actor, he made a very public confession, and that's when Kirstie Alley was on the show. And
who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Kirstie Alley.
What about Hugh Grant?
No, I'm just saying that Kirstie Alley, when he was on the show, he had made kind of a fun little apology or a confession about something having to do with his trainer, that he was really hot for his trainer. And so Hugh Grant took a cue from that, and she came on and made a public confession by taking to her Twitter account, which was the hilarious handle Hacked Off Hugh. Now, here's the thing. The Englishman who went up a hill but came down a mountain star wrote, "Turns out my inner crab got the better of me with the TV producer in 09. Unforgivable, Jay Stewart, correct to give me kicking. However, it remains to be seen if the funny man will back down on his stand to ban the lair of the white worm favorite, who she compared unfavorably to dictators, from appearing on her show. The incandescent comedy star said lovable Hugh is a big pain in the ass."
Well, what did he do?
I don't know, but apparently she was a pain in the ass to the Daily Show staff, and she's been banned by Jon Stewart. She's not going to let her back on the show.
So Jon Stewart has banned Hugh Grant, but we don't really know what it was, huh?
Well, I heard, can I say, Frank?
Go ahead.
I basically heard that he was very demanding, that this wasn't the dressing room wasn't warm enough. He didn't like his place in the show. This wasn't good enough. That wasn't good enough. The food wasn't good. You know, it really, and what happens is this. Many of these stars work very, very hard. I don't think we realize how hard they work, and I don't think we realize the long hours. You can get low blood sugar and cranky and every bit the, you know, cranky person that everybody else can be, except when you're cranky, it's very, very public.
Well, you know, Margaret, that's a very nice way of putting it, and that's right. If I were you, and I know that you've got to go interview her, and I'd say that, but I think she's just, as a man, and I'm just speaking man to man now, she is... she needs to come down off of her high horse, okay? Because she's never going to make a wife happy if she's demanding like that. What's a wife going to say to her? You know, he's going to say, I'm throwing you out, you know, because I thought I had the man of my dreams, but you're no man at all, and, you know, he'll want her out of his life. Hello?
Yeah, okay.
Let's just get out of there.
All right, Frank. Well, thanks very much.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, young man.
Thank you very much. I can't interview him anymore.
Well, Phil,
I can't. The she and the he and the... Oh, God.
I understood.
I thought that maybe he was coming out of it there at the beginning.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. Did you notice that? He said, well, she said a confession.
Yeah, I thought maybe, oh, wow, he's had a moment of clarity, and it turned out he was talking about Kirstie Alley.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like Bud. I can follow it. But it still irritates me, because after a while, I'm trying to remember who he's talking about.
Yeah, it's nuts, you know, she. And by the way, he didn't really have any information there.
I thought he had some inside scoop.
No, he didn't have anything. He didn't say really what went on, other than the fact that, you know, Hugh Grant says that he agrees with Jon Stewart. All right. We'll be right back here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. Free download? Yes, we've got a free download and more. We'll tell you about it when we come back. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't know whether or not this is the kind of news that guns your engine. I'm interested in this news because of the fact that I'm interested in it because I'm getting a little weary of it, too. Apple, the iPhone 5. I have a 4. I don't know what you have. Walmart is now selling the Apple iPhone 5 at a big discount. It began selling Apple's flagship iPhone 5 smartphone at a big discount in thousands of its stores. Walmart said it is selling the 16GB Apple iPhone 5 for $127 versus an original price of $189.97. The price is valid with a 2-year contract from wireless carrier Verizon, Sprint, and AT&T. Walmart said it's also selling the 16GB iPhone 4S and the 16GB iPad with Retina display and Wi-Fi at discounts. The offers are available for 30 days in about 3,000 of Walmart stores, which were not identified. They're not available online, according to the retailer. Apple has focused on high-priced premium gadgets for many years and has strictly enforced its price with retailers and other distributors. However, a Walmart spokeswoman said on Friday that the discounts were arranged with Apple. We work together with them on this, the spokeswoman Sarah Spencer said. They are a great partner, I'll bet. Walmart is pricing the iPad starting at $399 down from $499 beginning December the 17th. The retailer said it will throw in a $30 iTunes card. Walmart is selling the 16GB iPhone 4S for $47 versus an original price of $89.97. Apple did not respond to a request for a comment. Walmart's cooperation with Apple is a contrast to its relationship with Amazon.com, the world's largest internet retailer. In September, Walmart said it would stop selling Amazon's Kindle e-readers and tablets, placing a bet that consumers would be more interested in Apple's gadgets. This spring, Target dropped selling Kindle devices. Well, let me... tell you what I think is going on. You don't drop the price on something. You know, I don't think you drop the price on something unless you have a a lot of them to sell, and they're not selling the way you thought that they would sell. Now, there's a little bit of a backlash against Apple by people who buy Apple products, and the backlash may be coming from guys like me. And when I say guys like me, I don't worship at the temple of Steve Jobs. Not saying that he's not a terrific guy. I just didn't come up in that culture. So I'm just more of a regular consumer, and I can take it or leave it, you know. Some people who are Apple fans would consider it to be a blasphemy for me to say, you know what, this phone sucks, and throw it into the street as a cement truck rolls over it.
Then what are you going to get?
Then I'd go and buy another smartphone or something. But here's what I think about my iPhone. I love it. I love it, and I want to keep it for a while, and I don't want to have to keep running out and getting new bloody iPhones because now stuff is not available for my phone that used to be available for it. It's only available on the next priced item of iPhone. And that sort of, you know, pisses me off a little bit. And there's a lot of people like me. You know, make a phone that lasts more than a couple of years. Quit screwing around. Don't you? It's quite obvious what you're doing, and I don't know. There may be, you know, they're educating a whole new generation of consumers. They're educating an entirely new generation of consumers. They're basically educating those consumers into being completely and totally fine with going out and buying a new iPhone every couple of years or every, you know, 18 months. It's totally fine. And if you say to those people, they're younger, they're just, it's a different time. If you say to them, you know, it used to be, now you start to sound like grandpa. And they, I don't even know they're going to hear the rest of what you got to say, but you say, I could own a phone and it did what it was supposed to do for a long time. But I don't think that that's the way it is anymore. And that's okay, you know, but I'm going to do what, you know.
Well, you can't just do what you're going to do, Phil.
Why not?
Because you're going to have to go with the flow. If you like the iPhone, what are you going to do? Are you going to just give up on iPhone?
I guess what I'm saying is I'll hold off, you know.
Yeah, you hold off. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything, you holding off. Yeah, it's still, you're still going to want to have it in everything.
Yeah, I know I'm going to want to have it, but I just don't know that I'm going to want to run out, stand in line like a jackball, because I got to tell you, like I said, you know, those images mean something different to me. Those images of people standing in line for something can oftentimes mean dumbass, you know.
Well, what do you mean dumbass? What if they're standing in line for a great movie?
No, not a great movie. It just depends. For instance, if they're standing in line for the midnight pickup, you know, to buy the iPad or to buy some new gadget, that's a line that says dumbass to me because I just don't get it. And
yeah, but why does that say dumbass to you? Maybe you're standing there staring at them. They say there's a line of dumbass.
That's not going to be a line. Not in a line, but it's just me.
Yes, yeah, but still, they're saying you're in a line of dumbass.
All right, so I'm standing. Where am I now?
Well, you said you were staring at the people in line.
Yeah, but what are you guys making this about me for?
It's because they're looking at you.
They're looking at you, Phil, and they're saying there is a line of dumbass.
Right, okay, I think I understand what you're saying, except I'm not really in a line.
Yes, you are. You're in a. There's only one, but there's probably going to be more.
Well, I don't see how you can say that, you know.
Well, come on, Mr. Henry. Don't try to win every argument that we're going to have. You know as well as I do that you look like a dumbass to the dumb, you know.
Yeah, I mean, everybody looks like a dumbass to everybody.
Everybody looks like a dumbass. All right, fine, you know. You're right. You're absolutely right. There's no question. You're right.
Well, don't give in so easily.
I'm not giving in easy. Margaret, don't start a fight where we don't have to have one, okay? I agree. If I'm standing there staring at a bunch of people who are waiting in line to get their iPad and I'm thinking, what a bunch of dumbasses, they're looking back across the street at me and going, what's that old man staring at, that dumbass? Doesn't he know what's going on here?
Old man? Boy, you're really falling into that now, aren't you?
No, I just accept the way some people look at you, you know, that's always going to be my thing. And I, as much as I like iPhone and as much as I like what the... I do know this, that this will be something we are now... This is the world now, folks, if you're watching Phil TV. This is it. Whether it's a smartphone, whether it's your iPhone, this is now the world. Your desktop, you're always going to have your desktop, I suppose, but nobody will be without this portable computer communication entertainment platform. That's what it is. It's your phone, your internet connection, your entertainment connection. It is your platform to communicate with the world, to receive information from the world, and this is it. And, I mean, it's an amazing transformation that has taken place here in the last, you know, really 30 years is when the very first home computer that I saw, the old Texas Instruments, to this point, 30 years later, where we are literally, and I heard the predictions. They said that we would have computers no bigger than the size of the palm of your hand. Well, just about.
Well, that's bigger.
Yeah, that's bigger. So they got that wrong.
Well, they got it close enough, okay?
Well, yes, but you say the palm of your hand. Now, there's a lot that we've got these days that's about as big as the palm of your hand. I don't want to...
What were you going to say?
Well, men often brag about their...
Okay, in any event...
Oh, look, he doesn't want to talk about it.
Margaret, there's no point in... So in any event, that is the story with that. And Apple is, they'll be coming out with their 5S. And now, talking about our website, philhenryshow.com, and moving on into the future. Number one, for every backstage pass that we are selling this month, we're giving the backstage pass participant, purchaser, up to 5 free best of CD downloads. So if you get a 1 month, you get one free CD best of download, a 1 month subscription. If you get a 6 month backstage pass, you'll get 3 best of CD downloads. And if you get a 1 year, you'll get 5 best of CD downloads from the Phil Henry Show. Coming up within days, those of you who are backstage pass holders, you already know this because we talked about it on the pre-show. Coming up within days is a whole new redesign of our website. It's something we do every couple of years. The last redesign we did on the site was about 2010, wasn't it?
Yeah, almost 3 years.
So it's due for another look, and that is what we've got for you. We will have an enhanced search engine. We're going to have more informational features. It's going to have a much easier accessible area for our members to log in. We got a lot of bells and whistles. Plus, we're going to have live streaming for not only your Droid phone as well as your desktop, but there will be live streaming of our video cast for your iPhone and your iPad. It's all ahead in just a few days at our website, philhenryshow.com. And the whole reason why I'm talking about iPhone and iPad is because we do have that capability.
I don't understand why it is Apple does it different from...
Everybody else uses Flash Media. Apple does not. They use QuickTime. It's just Apple's thing. They don't like Flash Media. They will not support Flash Media. Forget it. It ain't going to happen. So... it's part of doing business with Apple, and if I want my website seen on their devices, if I want my audio and my media delivered on their devices, iPhones and iPads, then I damn well need to have my media converted into something that they will use, and that's what we're doing. So we're excited about that. So go to philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And, of course, daily we have a podcast of the day's show as well as a 5-day video archive of our video cast. The other thing is that we have a daily podcast that goes out on iTunes, and I'd like you to be checking that out. We have a new sponsor over there. That is our good friends at Audible. So you cats can take a look at that. We'll be right back here. Our number 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous... Phil Henry Show. We got to get into some other news here. And I am not going to even go down that road. No, I won't do it.
Well, you've got to report it.
I'm not going to talk about the school thing. Google Map. I'm not going to do any more of that stuff. So we've got some news for you. Would you like to hear about syphilis? I didn't think so. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL and philhenryshow.com. Phil Henry here along with Margaret Gray and Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Here's an interesting story because we were getting into this a little bit the other night with the legalization of marijuana in Washington. President Barack Obama, in an interview aired on Friday, said what?
Well, we got Jeff Dowder going to call in on it.
Has he called in now?
I think he's on the line then.
Oh, yeah, he's on line three?
Line two.
He's on line two?
No, maybe line three.
Would you guys get it together? What line's he on?
Instead of line three.
Hello? Hello? Who's this? Who? You have the wrong number. Hello?
What are you guys doing?
Hold on.
Hello? Who's this? Who? There's nobody here by that name, man. Hello?
Will you answer the Phil Henry Show so people know where they're calling?
I'm sorry. Phil Henry Show. What? Phil Henry Show. The what?
Give me that phone. Hello? Oh, hi. Yes, sir. I understand entirely. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Guy's doing, man.
Who was it?
One of the guys that I work with at the website. All right.
You hung up on.
I hung up on who?
On Dowder.
Well, call his dumb ass back, will you? Okay, I don't have time to screw around with this, please.
All right. Sorry.
You guys make life more difficult for a man than needs to be made, okay? All right, so President Obama and weed and the entire falderall surrounding marijuana. Now, here's the latest. President Barack Obama, in an interview on Friday, said the federal government will not arrest individual marijuana users in states that have legalized the drug. Will not arrest individual marijuana users in states that have legalized the drug. Obama's comments, excerpts from a longer interview with Barbara Walters that aired Friday on Good Morning America, square with what federal officials said this fall as Colorado and Washington voters considered ultimately successful measures to legalize use and limited possession of marijuana. Obama left unanswered, though, the larger question of whether the Justice Department will move to block portions of the laws in both states that allow for marijuana to be sold in specially regulated stores. That question looms over the laws as legislators in both states begin to craft regulatory structures for a recreational marijuana industry. Walters asked Obama during the interview whether he supports marijuana legislation. I wouldn't go that far, but I think what I think is that at this point in Washington, Colorado, you've seen the voters speak on this issue, and it is the federal government has a lot to do when it comes to criminal prosecutions. It does not make sense from a prioritization point of view for us to focus on recreational drug users in a state that's already said that under state law, it's legal.
Well, now, what about federalism? What about federalism?
The president's saying that federalism in this instance is ultimately not going to stand. In other words, it's not like, and we talked about this before, you know.
Well, Phil, I know, but I'm very confused by it. On the one hand, the federal government goes in and tells people who gets to sit at a drinking fountain or whatever.
Are you talking about civil rights?
Well, yes, but that was the same.
You know, it's not the same. I'll tell you why it's not the same. In the sense of human rights, in the sense of equal treatment and equal protection under the law, the federal government did act and did override the state laws and used as its reasoning constitutionality, and it was even tested in front of the Supreme Court. When it comes to the possession or non-possession of marijuana, the federal government is taking this position, that the constitutionality of the federal government, coming in and telling the states what to do with marijuana laws is not going to stand. It's not going to stand. It is not a right that the federal government should assume over the will of the people in any individual state. It's marijuana use. It has nothing to do with the relative rights of individuals. It has nothing to do with the relative this or that of individuals. So, you know.
I don't understand.
Well, you're just going to have to just go with me on this thing. So anyway, in further comments reported on ABC News' website, Obama said the new laws should prompt a larger discussion in Washington, D.C. about marijuana's legal status. This is a tough problem because Congress has not yet changed the law. I head up the executive branch. We're supposed to be carrying out laws, enforcing laws. And so what we're going to need is a conversation about how do you reconcile a federal law that still says marijuana is a federal offense and state law that says it's legal. Marijuana activists responded with caution to the president's comments. Now, did they get any comments from people who are in favor of maintaining the federal prohibition? No, they didn't. But this is obviously where the Supreme Court comes in. You have to test these things from a federal point of view. Let's get Jeff Dowder back on the phone here. We talked with him last week about this. Actually, talked to him early in the week. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing really good, Mr. Henry. And you were talking about the... just at that point, I was going to make a comment if you don't want to or if you don't want me to.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard what you said, and I think you're right. I think that the argument that those of us who are in favor of, you know, of legalizing a portion, if you want to call it that, of marijuana, we believe that you can't say no to drugs. And
wait, what do you mean legalize a portion?
What I mean is legalizing a so you can smoke it, and you can smoke it, but not be a store owner of it. You know what I mean? In other words, you'd be able to smoke it,
but not have a shop and not sell it. And
yeah, exactly. And the way to get around that probably would be to allow people to grow their own. I would say to grow their own marijuana, but I'm not familiar with it. Right.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I think that the president was saying was that all of these, and I'm hearing some noise in the background.
What?
I said I heard a little bit of noise. The president was saying that he does not want to bring in the federal government to enforce laws on something.
I'm sorry.
Okay, are you smoking weed right now?
No, I'm not.
Well, I'm hearing a bong.
Yeah, that's a bong I have. I mean, I smoke tobacco. Yeah, I'm not. I would not do that being on the show.
All right, anyway, so the president did say that he would send in, and I don't know what he meant by send in, but he would send in a number of federal enforcement agents if it got to the point where, okay, if it got to the point...
You know, Mr. Henry, if I was hitting a bong and there was the herb in it, I wouldn't be making such... So what, you know?
Okay. All right, you're right. So the president said that as they are doing this, the president said,
well,
I guess you're more interested in smoking the weed, right?
I'm not, as I said, I am not right now. Hold on. I'm not right now.
We'll be right back, Phil Henry Show.
Right?
Phil Henry.
Dude, you got it stuck on that.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And I want to also, and welcome back to the show, I want to thank Jesse Edwards. Jesse, I hope I got your last name right, man. I apologize if I didn't. It's their first night working with Jesse. Dan is coming back. He's just taking the night off because he's gone to see Lamb of God. Is that the band?
Yeah. I think it's a metal band.
Yeah. He went to see Lamb of God at the Medford Armory. And how do I say no to a guy's night off for nights? Of course, you have to go. You must go to that. You have to. You must. Like John Hurt in Alien. We must go on. We have to go on.
Yes, and what happened to John Hurt and Alien?
Well,
he took it off the face.
Yeah, he took the alien off the face.
He did take the alien off the face. You know, guys, it's not like taking a foul ball, getting hit by a pitch, okay?
Well, what are you getting all serious about?
What happened to John Hurt and Alien?
It didn't really happen, Phil.
No, but don't make fun of a guy.
Yeah, but when's that ever going to really happen?
Wait, are you guys trying to tell me that making jokes about a guy having an alien sucking onto his face? Oh, okay.
You know. Yeah, you're all talking like every day a guy gets an alien sucking his face. It ain't like that at all. Not like that at all. Not by a long shot, Mr. Henry. What happens usually is real life stuff. But still, You're going to make fun of it?
I ain't making... You're the guys that are making fun of it. John Hurt in that movie says, we have to go on, we must go on. He wanted to keep going investigating into this large alien spacecraft. He came upon all of those alien eggs, and one of them opened up and attached the alien to his face. Is that your point?
Yes, my point exactly. John Hurt's character, which was the... I forget the name of his character. Was Billy or Bobo?
It wasn't Bobo. It was like Kyle.
Kyle?
I don't know, but the character was so curious and wanted to so investigate, and generally those characters are dispensable in the very first few pages of the script, and that's what happened to John Hurt. He was dispensable immediately. He got the alien on his face, and...
Yeah, then the alien blew... It came busting out of his stomach.
Right, in one of the more memorable scenes in all of film history. So the moral of the story is what?
The moral of the story is leave well enough alone, I think, sometimes. Not always, but sometimes.
All right, well, it's a pretty good moral of the story. There's no question about that. All right, speaking of outer space, I did want to mention the world's oldest woman, but we also have a story here about NASA wanting to crash two probes into the moon. So which is more intergalactic?
Bobby, old lady.
Exactly. So we'll start off with, and we say that with great respect and reverence, ma'am. Her name is Dina Manfredini. Dina Manfredini of Johnson, Iowa. She received her title as the world's oldest person, and she got the title a day after she died. This lady's died. She's dead.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, when Dina Manfredini of Johnston was born, she had 15 days to get her bearings before the first running of the Boston Marathon. That was in 1897. 1897 she was born, and 115 years later, the world's oldest person and the marathon remained the same age. On Tuesday, Manfredini became the oldest person on Earth when Bessie Cooper died. Oh, I see. So Bessie Cooper of Monroe, Georgia, died at the age of 116. So this lady, Dina, yeah, because I was going to say, why would you name someone the world's oldest person when they're dead?
Well, they'd still be the world's oldest person.
No, they wouldn't, because they wouldn't be alive.
Yeah, but they still have the record.
It doesn't make any difference, man. It doesn't. Who's the world's oldest person? You're talking about somebody that's alive. Do you understand what I'm saying, Robert?
I sort of do, and I sort of don't. On the one hand, Ms. Gray and Bud are saying... What they say makes sense, and on the other hand, what you say.
Well, that's really taking a stand.
No, I know it, Robert. Robert is trying to be kind to you. He really agrees with us that you can be the oldest person on Earth and still be dead.
I don't see how that's possible. How can you be...
Mr. Henry, think about it. Let's say this lady, Dina Manfredini's... what is her name?
Dina Manfredini.
Let's say that lady is the oldest lady on Earth, which, yes, she is, right?
Yes.
And, okay, now she dies, okay?
Okay.
She still was the oldest, or is the oldest lady on Earth.
Oh, I see what Phil's saying. You're saying she's no longer, whoever the next oldest is.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. She may be the record holder of the person. Let's say, for instance, she holds the record as the person that lived the longest, you know.
Nah, it still doesn't make any sense.
Bud, if she's not alive, she can't be the oldest person on Earth. If she's dead, she's dead.
Yeah, but she was.
She was, but she isn't anymore. So let's say there's somebody that's 110. That's nowhere near as old as Mrs. Manfredini was, but Mrs. Manfredini and also Bessie Cooper of Monroe, Georgia, they're not with us any longer. They're gone. So now the oldest person on Earth is somebody who's 110 someplace. You see?
I don't know.
Man, you gotta be the dumbest clod that ever rolled down a hill not to understand that.
All I'm saying is...
Oh, we heard what you were saying, Bud.
Bud, you've got to work on being smarter. You can't... The charm of being a magnificent idiot, as we like to call you, it's wearing thin.
No, Bud, you're not that dumb.
Well, then why do you do that?
What are you talking about? You guys didn't make it clear what you were talking about, so that's why I don't know what you're talking about.
Because we didn't make it clear.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't make it clear what you're talking about either, so don't be talking to me about it.
You're the one talking.
No, you were talking.
All right, can we stop and let me just... In any event, so that's great. All right, Iowa woman is now the world's oldest person. She's alive, she's with us, and she's 115 years and 245 days old, which is no longer... She's no longer sweeping snow off of her driveway like she did at age 106, or cleaning houses like she did into her 90s. At age 110, she left the West Des Moines home she had inhabited since 1939 and moved to a Johnson nursing home. A day after she inherited the oldest mantle, her family declined any interviews to protect her privacy. So she finally went into a nursing home at 110, and she left the home that she'd been in since 1939.
Was she born in that house?
I don't know.
She was born in 1897.
Yeah.
Not 1939.
Are you saying that the house...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Miss Gray, you're being kind of stupid today.
Don't you call me... You know, take it back.
Miss Gray.
Take it back.
I take it back.
Well, you know, I'm going to say it, and I won't be taking it back. You are a little thick today, not to understand that.
I'm thick, am I? You know what? I didn't find those tampons.
Yeah, you go look for the tampons.
Gavin is great.
Shut up, and don't you... I say the word tampon, you don't.
Fine. If I had a nickel for every time that she gets up and leaves this studio... All right, so anyway, on Tuesday, Manfredini became the oldest person on Earth when Bessie Cooper died in Monroe, Georgia, at the age of 116. Much of her story is well known, though, because her longevity was already attracting notice years ago. It's the first time I've heard of this gal, but Manfredini was born April the 4th, 1897, in Italy, and before immigrating to the United States, lived in Fipalago, Italy. She arrived on Ellis Island on December the 20th of 1920, so she was a 23-year-old woman when she arrived, and she was on the ship Olympic from Cherbourg, France, according to Margaret, according to Ellis Island records. She was married to Ricardo Manfredini and had four children. After Ricardo was injured on the job as a miner in Des Moines, she earned money by cracking eggs in a food processing plant and working on an assembly line filling shells with gunpowder during the war. She always cleaned houses on the side. For dinner, she would put a big bowl of pasta in the middle of the table with polenta on the side, and the children raved about the homemade tortellini, they told a Register columnist in 2004. I'm an old lady, she said, but I work hard. I like work. Only eight people have ever reached the age of 116, according to S. Stephen Coles, the executive director of the Gerontology Research Group, which certified Manfredini's record. Today, there are 70 people throughout the world certified to be 110 years or older, though the organization estimates there are likely between 300 and 450 super centenarians in the world, and between 65 and 70 in the United States. Information about people who live a long time, about 40% longer than the average U.S. life expectancy, is useful to Coles and other researchers who are trying to find any similarities among people on their list. And now, you know, with DNA and mitochondrial DNA and looking at genetic things, man, you can figure out a lot of stuff. Just one more thing here. On the first set of interviews, we learned all these people were very different. Different religions, different occupations, different lifestyles, he said. There's one thing they all have in common, and that is they have long-lived relatives.
Long-lived the relative?
Yeah, like long-live.
No, long-lived relatives, or maybe it's long-lived. Anyway, we'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll finish reading this.
Nothing you're saying is making any sense. I know you...
What are those?
I beg your pardon?
What are those?
These are tampons.
What?
Tampons.
Why are they sitting here, Margaret?
Well, now that the whole world knows, I'll use them somewhere else.
You're not going to actually put one in... Get the...
Oh, my God!
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We were doing this, just reading this story about the world's oldest person, and her name is Dina Manfredini, and she's a native of Italy, but she's been in the United States since 1920, roughly since she was 22 years old. And she's now officially the oldest person in the world, 116 years old. Now, the thing that's interesting about this, we're all interested in these, people that are elderly.
Except when Willard Scott, oh, baby.
What's that?
You know, is if you got Harvey on the phone, I know he could speak to it, because it used to drive, I know Harvey and Frank and I would sit around and on vacation, and sometimes we'd flip the TV on when Harvey's wife was alive, Carolyn, God rest her soul.
Yeah.
And we'd flip the TV on and see Willard Scott, and that's when, and it, I have to tell you, that's when we started on vacation now, so please understand, but that's when we started to bring out the ice bucket and we started to pour the first drinks of the day. And the reason being...
Willard Scott irritated you that much?
He irritated Harvey. And when Harvey started when Harvey got the party going, everybody was expected to...
Where were you guys vacationing?
Oh, lots of places. We were in the Bahamas. We were in Jamaica. We were in Mexico.
Harvey Wireman on the line from San Marino. Harvey, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good.
And do you know this Willard... You know Willard Scott...
I don't know Willard Scott, no. I, Margaret's telling you the story, though, right?
Yeah, well, she's saying that you guys started drinking when... You guys would start to drink when you started drinking.
You guys started to drink?
What I'm saying is they started to drink when you started drinking.
Yeah, when we were on vacation. And I used to... when Carolyn, my wife, was alive... Now, you know, Carolyn's been gone a few years, but we'd vacation with the Grays. Now they're too good for me.
What does that mean?
I'm kidding. Take it easy.
We just had him to dinner last week.
Yes, they did. They're very nice. Now, but what I want to tell you is this guy Scott. Willard Scott used to give me what we used to call the heebie-jeebie. Do you know that term, Phil?
Yeah.
And, Margaret, you know the term, right?
Yes, I know heebie-jeebies, yes.
All right, so... When we'd be on vacation, Willard Scott was the weatherman for the Today Show on one of the networks, I forget.
NBC.
Was NBC, I forget about it. And Scott would say, and here is Mrs. So-and-so, and she's 158 years old. He'd lie, every day he'd lie with a new one, you know. Now, it was fine.
You thought he was lying, huh?
Thought he was lying. How could you believe the man? How can there be that many 180-year-old and this and that?
Well, there were never anybody. Harvey, I tried to tell him.
You didn't try to. Margaret, don't talk about me like I'm not here, like I'm an uncle listing to one side in a wheelchair, and you're talking about where you want to warehouse me. Okay?
I don't mean any disrespect, but what I'm saying is he never said 180.
Every day on that Willard Scott show, he said, and look at this, here's another one that's 100 and something. Didn't he say that?
I remember him always celebrating the birthdays of people that had reached 100.
Oh, no. If that was the case, it would be fine. If that was the case, it would be fine. But Scott didn't do that. He had, and here's a beautiful, the thing that, you know, he'd say, and look at this, isn't she beautiful? She's 150. Now, let's be honest about something.
Harvey.
Oh, no. Well, let's be honest. How beautiful is anyone going to be at 150? Right there, that was a lie. The fact that she's 150 is a lie. And the fact that Willard Scott is standing there with that big gap-toothed grin like he actually cares, that was the worst lie of all. Put it all together, and what have you got? Well, I filed multiple... actions. I tried to get an injunction against Scott.
Boy, you know, I've never ever attributed to you a frivolous lawsuit until now.
Did I say I filed a lawsuit?
Well, this is how he gets around.
No, this is not how I get around. I heard what you said. That's not how I get around. Did I say I filed a lawsuit?
No.
I filed an injunction. And you know what? Hold on. Yeah. You know what an injunction is?
Yes, I do. You get somebody to stop doing something.
Yeah, and I filed an injunction with the District Court of New York for a 72-hour stay on, and I did it wrong, and if I'd have
If you'd done it right.
If I'd have done it right, Scott would be out of our lives today. But I didn't do it right. I said I was filing an injunction for a 72-hour stay on the whole, on Willard Scott's whole act. And the judge saw that and looked at me, and I knew this guy a long time. I'd known this judge for at least 31 years. He and I came up together. We came up together as part of the DA's office in Los Angeles when I first went to work in L.A., and now he's back in New York, you know, a guy by the name of Gwillem Chambers.
Gwillem?
Yeah, Gwillem. That's what his parents saddled him with. They used to call him Willie. And
Gwillem is Welsh.
Is it? I don't know. So I said, he looks at me, shakes his head. He said, Harvey, you ought to know better than this. He gets up, pulls his gown up, and I'd never seen a judge do this, and rubbed my request for an injunction about 5 or 6 times on his crotch.
Oh, Mike, are you kidding? You could have had him thrown out of you could have had him taken off the bench.
Absolutely.
Well, here's what I did, because I know the guy. I said, you know, and then he said to me before, he said, how many times did I rub that on my crotch? I said, I actually counted, Willie. I said, I think it was 6. He said, 7. He said, if you'd guessed right, I might have actually. He said, get out of my sight. And, of course, I took this injunction that he had just rubbed on it, on the red on the crotch, the groinal, you know, the crotch.
Yes, I understand. God, what is it with people, man? They want to hear things 2 and 3 times.
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. I'm not. God.
Phil.
What bug got up your rear end?
Nothing. I just. You call Willard Scott a liar? I'm not going to call you a liar. I'm having a hard time believing this story.
Oh, I thought you knew Harvey. You know him well enough that he's not going to lie about this.
You're having a hard time believing the story, huh? I tell you what you do. You look up Gwilly or Gwillem or Willie Chambers. I'll give you his address. I'll give you his phone number. And you call him, and we'll do a 3-way. And by that, I mean a 3-way on the phone. I don't want some smart-ass like the Dickman.
You said 3-way.
Yeah, see? I don't want...
I understand what you mean.
All right. And I'm going to tell you, he took that all the paperwork that I'd worked on, and he rubbed it on his crotch 7 times, and he said, I'll never forget the parting line was something like, here, feed that to your dog.
What? You know what? How could this guy still be a friend of yours?
Oh, I love him. He's a great guy. He's a great, great guy. And we go fishing twice a year. We go up to the Russian River.
This guy rubs. Can you hang on?
And what we do?
Can you hang on?
Go up to the Russian River, you know.
Harvey.
But I'll tell you, he's a great
Harvey
fisherman.
Hold on, he can't hear us. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
And then we've got brown trout. We go brown trout fishing near Bishop, you know, there's good brown trout there. Is there anyone there, or did they go to a commercial break? Honey, get Grandpa's glasses, will you?
Okay.
And turn on the radio and see if I'm actually on the radio. They may be pulling a fast one.
Okay.
Phil Henry.
This guy Henry lies like a rug.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
But he told me that, see?
All right, we're here with Harvey Wireman on the world famous Phil Henry Show. He's talking to us about Willard Scott. So, you know, the oldest person in the world is now certified as an American from Iowa named Dina Manfredini. She is 116 years of age. The previous oldest person on Earth was also an American named Bessie Cooper did they say Monroe, Georgia? And she was 116 or something, and that lady passed on, I believe, not too long ago. And this got us to talking about Willard Scott And Margaret suggested that Harvey be a good guy to talk to because you used to get, she's claiming, Harvey, that the very sight of Willard Scott would cause you to start drinking.
I know. I mean, when we were on vacation, Margaret knows the story, that Frank and myself and my wife, Carolyn liked to drink. And I thank God for that. A lot of men, a lot of women, they'll say, well, my husband, my wife, my husband or wife like to drink. And they would say, oh, that's, I love the fact, I thank God. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't thank God that my wife, Carolyn, loved to drink.
Why?
For somebody to drink with. What do you mean, why?
Well, were you guys abusive drinkers?
No, we weren't abusive. That's a hell of a question to ask. If I was an abusive drinker, there would be evidence of it, and you would be able to ask me about it. But I've had a long-standing career, and to talk that way about my wife.
Now, hold on for a minute. I'm not disrespecting your wife, Harvey.
When you asked, was she an abusive abuser? And I said,
get abusive.
I meant to say, was she an abusive boozer? Didn't I say that?
No, you said, was she an abusive abuser?
Well, you can figure it out. Why do I got to repeat it?
Because, Harvey, it doesn't sound... you're not making a very good case. Let me just say...
No, I'll make the case. The point that I'm saying here...
Did you not drag some kid 70 yards with your Cadillac?
That wasn't because I was drunk. That kid was out on the street with his little bicycle. I got in my car to drive to my home. In my car, I heard a bump, thud, bump. I heard a, what was the sound? I heard a bump, a thud, then a bump, and then the sound of, it sounded almost like fingers on a chalkboard. I heard another bump, then what sounded like a blender, and then it went quiet.
Well, what did you think was going on when you're hearing a bump and then another bump and then a...
I didn't say that, did I? I said I heard a thud and a bump. Now, there's a difference. You may be thinking that I'm splitting hairs. When you hear a thud and then a bump, well, I don't know what you think, but...
If I hear a thud, a bump, the sound of fingernails on a chalkboard and a blender, I'm pulling my car over to find out what it is.
Well, good for you. You just won your next Boy Scout merit badge. Yeah. Yeah. Boy.
Harvey, I don't think that kind of sarcasm helps. You need to explain to Phil why you didn't immediately stop the car.
Because they'd been doing road construction. And because there were potholes and because there was a lot of loose asphalt. And I always like to do the joke, but I guess I shouldn't do it, huh?
What?
Well, I always say there's loose, and then I cut that word in half, the word asphalt.
Yeah, don't do that joke, because we're talking about something serious. You hit a kid.
Oh, he was okay.
But you dragged him.
I dragged him about 75 yards. And when I got out of the car, I saw a kid that was stuck on my... The kid was attached to the bumper, to the fender. And I said, well, you know, I don't know about you, but I didn't, you know, I don't know what you're doing there. And so, close that door, will you? Right now, Phil, I've got a jet that we're fueling up outside because I'm flying to Laughlin tonight. And
you're fueling a jet outside your home?
Just outside on the back of the property here. Open the door so Phil can hear. You hear that?
Yeah.
All right, close it, will you? Honey, close it. So,
Boy.
Yeah, you know, it pays to be a successful man, Mr. Henry. So anyway, Willard Scott. So when that guy comes on the TV and says, hey, here's Mary Boo-Boo, or whatever her name is, and she's 100 and some odd years old, and I got so sick and tired of the lies, you know.
You don't know that the guy's lying. That's the thing that...
Oh, come on, Phil. How many 100-year-old people are you going to find every day? Every day the guy had somebody that was 100.
I don't think it was every day, Harvey.
Well, you know what? Thank you very much for your opinion, but you're wrong, too. Every single day they say, here's Willard Scott now with the weather. And I took notes, and I took very detailed and careful notes. And every day there was some old face that was staring back at me from what Willard Scott did. Okay?
There was an old face staring back at you as part of the Willard Scott presentation.
What does that mean?
When he came on to do the weather.
Yeah, Well, I mean, when Willard Scott came on to do, there was some old bags.
See, I think the more you talk about this, you're not clear.
What does that mean? I'm senile?
No, you're saying that every day there was an old person on TV. You don't know if that was Willard Scott.
I didn't say it was Willard Scott.
No, I know you're not saying that, but you're saying that every day you watched Willard Scott, there was an old lady or an old man that he showed?
There was an old lady and an old man, yeah.
That he showed?
Well, what are you going to do? You going to cut hairs with me now? You know?
Well, Harvey, that's what this is about. It might have been a news story that was completely independent of the Willard Scott Report.
The Willard Scott Report. Get a load of her. Boy, you'd swear to God we're talking about Walter Cronkite, or whatever that guy's, you know, I used to watch him every day. I can't remember his name.
Walter Cronkite?
Yeah, Walter Cronkite. Cronkite.
No, the French is Cronkite.
All right. Goodbye, Harvey.
Well, thank you, because I'm so bored.
My God, you got rid of him fast.
Cronkite is what did it. I just want you to know. I want to go on record as saying you, with that French pronunciation...
Oh, you're not hanging that one on me.
Yeah, that's what you do every day. Every day you do it.
We got time to take a couple of random phone calls. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com if you want to join us over there. Let's go over to Charlie. Charlie, how you doing?
Phil, I'm doing very well, and thank you for having me on your program. I enjoy your program every night. I wanted to comment, Phil, on the story you were saying about Lindsay Lohan earlier. I don't know if the gentleman's still on there or not.
No, we don't have... That was Don Berman.
Mr. Berman is an individual I'm very familiar with since we came out here from back east in the 50s. I remember watching Mr. Berman on Channel 19 News. I saw the report on the drunk driving. I saw the report on the young woman that he was alleged to have sexually harassed. I saw the report on the young woman that he was alleged to have had the affair with that was married to a young GI who was stationed at the time, I think, was in Vietnam. I saw the report on the history of the litany of the lechery of this man.
That was lovely. Say that again.
I'm sorry?
This is Margaret Gray. You said the history...
The history and the legacy of the lechery.
The history and the legacy of the lechery. That's beautiful.
Very, very alliterative, yes.
Yeah, well, thank you. But the history and the litany, the history of the lechery of the litany of the, and it, you know, I noticed, Mr. Henry, a lot of people on your show get nervous and start stumbling all over themselves and sound like a jackball, and that's what's happening to me, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
The
history of the litany of lechery.
Yes, that's it. The history of the litany of lechery of this individual is very well chronicled. So when Don Berman was on your show tonight, and he was talking about how he was giving $16,000 to Lindsay Lohan so she would be able to pay her storage bill, I knew what was coming. I knew what was coming. And when he said that he wanted her to, as a way of saying thank you, perform a private dance or a private lap dance or something for him, at the name of his home, then I put two and two together.
What do you mean the name of his home?
Oh, you don't. Don has a name for his home.
Yeah, it's called the Lap of Luxury. So I knew this.
Don's home is called the Lap of Luxury.
Oh yeah, it's a very stately, 1930s, 1920s style mansion in Beverly Hills. The Lap of Luxury. And so when he said he wanted Lindsay Lohan coming to his home to do a private, I said, this guy, you know, this piece of garbage wants a lap. He wants a lap dance as sure as his lap is ready for the lap dance, you know. So you
figured that one out. Okay, well, that's great. I mean, Don, as you said, the history and the litany of lechery from that man, as you very well put it.
And couldn't say it twice.
Right, I was not able to say it twice, right.
But nonetheless, you're absolutely right. He's a lecherous guy.
Well, but I wanted to say I called because I had predicted he was going to say that, but you didn't put me on the air, so.
Right.
Well, I thought you were giving away a shot glass.
No, sir, we're not giving away a shot glass. What made you think I was giving away a shot glass?
I thought if I called up and predicted what it was he was going to say, that I'd win a shot glass, but I guess not.
No. No, but good call, nonetheless.
Is there going to be any time in the future when you're not so cheap? Because...
All right, there you go. That's it for the phone calls. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. What's the matter? I hung up on that jackass. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You can't make what a shot glass for me?
Truth
for me?
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. During our break, I was perusing this next story, and thank you very much, Harvey Weierman, for your contributions to our program concerning Willard Scott and old people and who lies and who doesn't, and also the last caller. Boy, that phone screening, man.
Well, what do you want me to do? The guy called up and said...
Yeah, but the guy's trying to cop a free shot glass? Give me a break. Oh, by the way, for our 10,000th follower on Facebook, 10,000th follower, actually not our 10,000th follower, once we reach 10,000, and I don't know if we have we?
Look.
But once we reach 10,000, we're going to draw for a winner of a one-year free subscription, as well as a bag of swag from the Phil Hendry Show. So that is forthcoming. Like I said, if we haven't already hit the 10,000 mark, I think we were pretty close before we went on the air. History's biggest scientific fraud. I've got some science news for you guys. If you know anything about this radio show, you know we love our science. Oh, wait. First, NASA to crash two probes into the moon.
I don't know why you do that. The moon, man, no one cares about the moon, man. The moon just don't...
Moon doesn't get it done anymore.
The moon doesn't get it done anymore, huh?
Well, the moon, they already landed on the moon.
Well, I don't give a damn if they've landed on the moon.
Watch your language, please.
I don't care if they've landed on the moon already. They're doing another thing with the moon. Basically, what's happening there is the two NASA moon probes will end their gravity mapping mission in spectacular fashion on Monday, crashing intentionally into a cliff near the lunar North Pole. The twin Grail spacecraft, known as Ebb and Flow, that's cute, will slam into the raised rim of a moon crater at 5:28 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday, according to mission team members. The probes will impact about 20 seconds apart and each traveling at 3,760 miles per hour or so. Seems to me that there was an explosive plume or something in one of the moon missions.
Yeah, they dropped something. I forget what.
They dropped something. Well, anyway.
I know what it was. It's the Apollo.
Oh, it was the lunar module that took them from the moon. It docked with the command module. The astronauts got out and into the command module, and they didn't need the lunar module anymore, and they dropped it, and I think it crashed into the moon surface.
Yeah, and
it just, they captured the explosive plume of dust when it hit the, I don't know, it's just, it was an unusual photograph.
Wow, all of that way to run for that. I was waiting and waiting with bated breath.
All right, sorry to disappoint you, Margaret. Anyway, the crash zone is far from any area where previous moon missions, such as NASA's Apollo efforts, touched down, so Grail's final moments won't endanger sites of historical importance. The $496 million Grail mission, short for Gravity Recovery and Interior Laboratory, launched in September 2011, and Ebb and Flow arrived in lunar orbit about 3 months later. The two probes have been zipping around the moon ever since, mapping its gravity field in unprecedented detail. Why did it take 3 months for it to get into lunar orbit?
I don't know. How long does it take to get a moon?
It only took the astronauts that landed on the moon a week.
What?
It took a week to fly the astronauts to the moon. So why does it take 3 months later? And they must have been screwing around doing something else.
Well, what do you mean screwing around? This is tax dollars.
I know. They weren't screwing around. They were obviously doing something else. Like maybe they're mapping some sort of scientific effects on Earth. You know, it got launched and 3 months later it hit the moon. I'm betting that it had some other...
Well, I hope so, because I don't know. These are computerized ships. And with advances in technology, I don't know. But I think it's a waste of taxpayers' dollars if these things are allowed to go into space, and then, as you put it, and I think you put it very well, Phil, screw around and waste time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Margaret, no computer that we've yet developed is going to screw around and waste time that I know of.
Yeah, that's...
That you know of. What I'm saying is, and I'm going to be very clear because I don't want to keep repeating myself, because I do that a lot on this show. These lunar craft have these new super brain computers, do they not?
I don't know. They have sophisticated computers.
Well, aren't they the new super brains?
What do you mean by super brain?
But every time you talk, I lose another year off of my life.
Don't be rude to him. Now, what do you mean?
I mean the super brain, whatever takes us to the moon.
They are very advanced computers, yes. If you're saying, are they home computers? No, they're not the home computers that you and I use. There's not the iPhones, none of that. It is an advanced computer, and it does a lot, yeah.
All right. What I'm worried about as a taxpayer, and what you just alluded to with this particular mission, it launched and it arrived at the lunar surface 3 months later. Now, NASA is not going to say to the people of this country, we've got a problem, the craft took off and decided that it wanted to waste a lot of time and make everyone angry and got a big laugh out of it and then went to the moon. Why are you looking at me like that?
What computer? I don't know of any computer that's going to screw around and get a big laugh out of it.
I mean, what do you think it can do?
You're laughing at me, and that you know that doesn't... That won't end well. You know that, right?
Yes, I understand. What I'm saying, Margaret, is this. I don't believe any computer that we have yet launched with any spacecraft is sophisticated enough to take on a certain personality.
Well, it doesn't have to be a personality. It's a machine. It's been ordered to do this, ordered to do that, ordered to do this, ordered to do that. And I'm thinking it's going to get tired of that. And it's going to mess around, waste fuel, waste time, and then on its way to the moon, get a big laugh out of it. No?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
Don't look at me like I've lost my mind.
Margaret, I don't know. Maybe it's because you're not... And I'm not a scientist either, but I will tell you, I don't know of any computer that's going to get resentful and screw around and waste time.
Oh, is that right? And every child out there is just so sweet and lovable, and none of them are ever disobedient... or throw their underwear on top of someone's head, like Jason Jay did on his father's head when he came in the other night, which made me very angry. Would you expect Jason Jay Delmonico to do that?
Yeah, he's a 14-year-old boy, yeah.
He took off his underwear and draped it over his father's head while he was asleep.
That sounds like something a 14-year-old kid's going to do.
And so the fact that I smacked him so hard, the mouthpiece he uses for football flew out of his mouth?
I would say that was an overreaction, yeah.
Well, guess what? You're wrong. Thank you.
Now...
No, I don't want to talk about the brain, the computer.
But you're the one that said a computerized brain's going to do stuff.
I said it's going to... It's going to F around and waste your money and mine and get its kicks that way.
I don't know that... I don't believe so, no.
Even with the evidence?
There's no evidence of it. 3 months to get to the moon could mean it had another mission.
Don't raise your voice to me. I think we've got a computer out there that thinks it's a real laugh.
And right now it's listening to us arguing.
Yes, as a matter of fact.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show has been produced by Jesse Edwards and Phil Hendry. Dan Northcraft on vacation. Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard have been our special members of our special panel here, folks. For more, go to philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com and get yourself a backstage pass. And have all kinds of access to all kinds of fun. Indeed, indeed, indeed. This month, we're giving away free downloads. Until then being Monday, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.